All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you again today for your word. We thank you that you've given us your word for an example. And so as we look today, we just declare we will learn more about our praise to you and how to do it. And so, Father, you teach us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you as the teacher. So have your way in this place and have your way in our lives as you show us and reveal to us the hidden treasures in this word. Not hidden from us, but hidden for us. And we receive it today in Jesus' name. Okay, I've got a review. Anybody need notes? Got them? Of what we covered on the seven words for praise, and we're going to finish up the last three of those today. I'm not going to turn to all the scriptures. We may talk about them, but I'm not going to turn to them and read each one. First word we looked at, you remember what it was halal. It can have one L or two, depending on what you're looking at. And it literally means, in the Hebrew, to shine, but it's translated, or it implies, to give light, to make a boast, to make a show. And this one I like, to be clamorously foolish. In other words, you can get excited, to rave and to celebrate. And it is the most frequent word that is used in terms of praising and giving glory and boasting in the Lord. Second one we looked at has to do with the root word in it, has to do with hands. And it literally means to revere, to worship with extended hands. It also can mean to hold out the hand, and I told you that reminds me of the covenant of strong friendship. And so from that covenant, we should have joy and be willing to praise and give thanks. It literally means praise, but it also is translated several times, give thanks. And we saw last week that how important that is. We looked at 2 Chronicles 20. When they said they were going to send the praisers out to praise as they went to battle. And he told them if they do that, or he just told them, go and stand, you're not going to have to fight. But they chose to send the praisers out. And then it says, so they went and they praised, the word halal, the first one. And it said then that they gave thanks. So we saw that that giving of thanks and praise, we need to think more of them as synonymous. The next one we looked at was taudah or todah, and it also involves an extension of the hand and an adoration, but specifically it's talking about a choir of worshipers doing that, and it's translated thanksgiving, principally, praise a little bit, and then a few others. And so we looked at those. And what we saw last week is that, particularly in Psalm 147, that, again, it's got to do with raising of hands, but it's also got to do with singing of songs from a choir. And it's really more formal songs or repetitive songs. We talked briefly, looking at New Testament, about what happens to people who don't give thanks. And it's talking about their mind being darkened. And really missing it. So we see from the New Testament that giving thanks is important. And then in Philippians 4:6, it says we're to make prayer and supplications with what? Thanksgiving. So it's got to be, needs to be a part of our praise. So we've talked about, when we talked about prayer, that we start with praise, giving of thanks, we make our request, and we end with it. And yet, most people spend most time complaining about what's going on and asking for some relief from it. Or you might say in some cases, begging for relief from it. Instead of giving thanks, acknowledging that he's already done it, then declaring what he's going to do for us, and then giving more thanks. And then the last word we looked at last week was barak. And it's used over 300 times. And it means to bless the Lord. It literally means to bend the knee. And the image I think of is when someone would go before a king or queen like even the knights in the English history. And they would bend their knee and they would confer some type of blessing on them. And so that's how the word came about. Overwhelmingly, it's used talking about Him, the Father, blessing us. But there are a number of scriptures that we saw last week, including Psalm 103, which says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? All that is within me." So when we bless the Lord, what are we doing? We can't actually go bless Him in the terms of confer a blessing on Him like He does to us. But we're blessing His name. We're exalting. We're raising it up. And so that's where we quit last week. So today we want to pick up with three more. And again, this is a bit more technical in detail than what we normally study here. But the word today that we want to look at is Shabbat. And there is a Chaldee equivalent. And we'll actually look in the book of Daniel, and that's the only place it's used. And they wrote that in the language of the country they were in, and that's why it's that way. It's only used 16 times. It's used praise most of the time. Now look at this meaning. And for those that have asked questions about, do we have to be out loud? And then those who talk about things being too loud, look at the definition of this one. And I probably fall in that latter camp more too. It means to address in a loud tone. It literally means loud. What it implies is a loud adoration, a shout. And then I like this one. Unashamedly. Unashamedly proclaiming in a loud voice. Can also mean a testimony of praise. And it can mean singing forth praises. Now, what does it not say? It certainly is not saying this word, praise Him in my heart. Although we're going to see, as we look next time we're together, a more worshipful attitude in prayer. Now, let me just make a couple of comments about it. Loud expressionary, we've seen that one word that is related to joyful means to twirl about. What does this one say to us? I've heard people say, and I've probably said it, if I'm honest, which I will try to be, God's not deaf. Why do we need to be so loud? And that is true. But this word that is used here in the scriptures we're going to look at indicates that there is an appropriate time to be loud and to be boisterous in our praise. So if God's not deaf, I've got to also add, He's not nervous. So the loud stuff isn't going to bother Him. So if the loud doesn't make Him react more and it doesn't bother Him, then what is it implying? Sometimes you reckon it's good for us, and let me go back to this one, to be unashamedly proclaiming His glory in a loud voice, because everything He tells us in His Word to do toward Him, He turns right back to our benefit. Now again, it's not all the time, and it's not appropriate for one person to be loud when the entire congregation is being quiet and worshiping in that manner. But this is something that, and I also don't think it's appropriate that everything be at the top of the volume meter, that you need to wear earplugs. But there are times when the Spirit of the Lord falls on people in a certain way that it can get loud. And so we need to understand that it is scriptural. And I think there is good wisdom to be used on both sides of it. The first reference of it, if you'll look with me in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 16. And the ark has been brought in. And David is giving a long discourse that starts in verse 7 concerning what the praisers are to do, and most of this chapter is about that. 24 says, tell of his glory, and it just continues on down to 35. And then he says, and let me read 34 too. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness, his hesed, his covenant love is everlasting. Then say, save us, O God of our salvation. Now, I can't read that without reemphasizing salvation there just doesn't mean deliver us and get us to heaven in our thinking. What does it entail? Soundness, wholeness, preservation, completeness. It implies healing. It implies having needs met. It's everything we need that Jesus provided on the cross. And we can go to Isaiah 53 and see most all of those there. So save us, O God, from our salvation, and gather us up and deliver us from the nations, to give thanks to thy holy name. And my translation in New American Standard says, and glory in thy praise. What other translations say? Triumph, boast would be a good word. And we're not boasting of what? The children of Israel here are not boasting of themselves and what they've accomplished. They're boasting of what God has done for them, through them. Now look at Psalm 63. And we'll spend a lot of times as we have, a lot of time as we have before in the Psalms. Psalm 63, and we're going to read 1 through 5. Verse 3 is the key verse here. Let me read it from King James. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Let me just stop there. A lot of translations say, earnestly will I seek thee. Now, when you say, well, what does that have to do with early? To me, it says, I'm making that a priority. It's one of the first things I do in my day. And then it says, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. And then he tells us what he's longing for, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And then verse 3 says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. That is the word, Shabbat. So loudly give adoration for what he's done for him. Then in verse 4 it says, thus will I bless thee. That's the word Barak that we looked at last week. While I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. Now that's not one of the words we looked at. That's just a phrase that says literally that. And then it says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. In that last verse, the word praise there is the word halal, the clamorously foolish. Now, the verse 3 in my New American Standard says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will give a loud adoration, will praise thee. So we see that there are different, in these different verses, it really helps to understand what the word for praise is so that you can see the type of adoration that is being offered. Look at Psalm 117. King James says, praise the Lord. The words there are halal, yah. So hallelujah is literally what it's saying there. All ye nations, praise him. That's the word Shabbat. All ye people. Now, New American Standard says, praise the Lord, all the nations. And then it says, laud, L-A-U-D. Not as laud of mercy or anything like that, but L-A-U-D. And what does that word mean? Laud him, all peoples. Laud means to lift up, to magnify. And it, so when it's saying that, it's saying that when we do that together as all peoples with one focus and, let me say, with one voice, then what will that be? A loud proclamation, an L-O-U-D, proclamation of who he is. Now look at Psalm 145, the fourth verse. And let's back up and, read the first verse. In fact, we may read 1-7. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless, Barak, thy name forever and ever. Every day I will, Barak, bless thee, and I will praise, Halal, thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And the word there again is halal. Then in verse 4, said, one generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Now the word for praise in that verse is this word shabak, which what? Means a loud adoration. Now it's interesting to me that verse is there talking about one generation doing it for the next. Because if I look at loud praise today, it's normally the younger generation doing it. And some of us olders are stepping back a bit. But why would it be right for us to do it in that kind of manner? Because we are passing on who we know he is. And it's not just loud, but it's with a degree of authority and confidence as to what we have seen and experienced in praising him. And then finally, for this word, look at Daniel 2, the 23rd verse. Now this is when the king has had a dream and Daniel has asked for some more time and he goes back to his friends, and that's really Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but it gives their other names. And then he starts praying, and it starts out in verse 19, said the first thing he did was bless the God of heaven. And then he prays. He gets the revelation, and then in verse 23, he says, to thee, O God of my father, I give thee thanks. And the word there is the Chaldean word for yada, which is the raising of the hands, giving thanks. I give thanks and praise. Loud praise is the implication. Now, the reason that I found that interesting is that when he got the revelation, he raised his hands and he was loud with it. It's because I remember another time when Daniel praised and he got in trouble. Now, your notes say look in chapter 7. Look, mark it out and put 6. I just typed the wrong one. In chapter 6, they realize that the only way I'm going to get Daniel in trouble is to get him in trouble with something related to his God, because he's going to obey his God. And he's going to obey the king. But he'll put his God before the king. And so you remember what they did? Gave the proclamation. That when this certain thing happens, you're to bow down and worship. But Daniel did not do that. Now look in verse 10. So I want to do this to give you an idea of Daniel's attitude toward worship. The word is not used here, but I think it paints a good picture. Now then Daniel knew that the document was signed. He entered his house, and now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. All right, so he didn't go in and shut his house up and do it in private. He went in and slung the windows open. And it says, kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks, that word is the Chaldean word for Yada, before his God, as he had been doing previously. Now, as I read the other chapter, chapter 2, and saw that he gave thanks and gave loud praise, I can almost see him doing the same thing with that window open, even with more unashamedness. And you know, while there may be a time in our life, certainly as there is in others around the world, where they have to meet in a clandestine manner and they have to be quiet sometimes, there may come a day when we are motivated by His Spirit to do as Daniel did, and swing the doors open and to disclose, no matter what the cost, who we are, and to praise Him for who He's made us. So I just thought that was an interesting one, and wanted to close talking about that word with that implication. Now, any questions on Shabbat? The loud, the one that says it can be loud? Be led is my advice. That's an answer to a million and one questions. What do I do? Be led. Not by your feelings. Not just by your emotions, but by that Spirit inside you. Okay, no questions? All right, we're going to go on to the next word. And we've seen this word and actually talked about it last week in a number of scriptures, and we'll go back over a few of those so you can see it again. It is Zamar, and it's used 46 times in 42 verses. Generally translated praise. It's also translated sing, and sing psalms. The Hebrew has the idea of using your hands, your fingers, to do something on an instrument, as in playing a flute, strumming, striking, like a harp or something like that. Use of the hands with fingers, with words being sung as well. So it's playing an instrument and saying words or singing words of praise to the Lord. So hence, we would say it's to celebrate in song and music. Now, the implication here is also that it can be a group. So this is a more formal type. One Hebrew lexicon that I have says it means to sing praise, to play music, to make music, and to play a musical instrument. The first reference that it's used is in Judges, the 5th chapter, and we don't have to turn there, because I think I put the detail in your notes, didn't I? Yes. And Judges 5:3 says, "Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord." And then the word Zamar is the next phrase. "I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel." Now, I'm just going to tell you, I don't understand the way the translators of the King James did this sometimes, because sometimes they put sing and show the words praise is added in this Zamar. Other times it says sing praise and it doesn't show praise as the word added, which, you know, in your Bible where it's italicized is when you know it's added. So I don't understand what they're doing. So I just don't look at them much differently. Sing praise. We all know that's what they were about. And so what's he saying here? He's saying, listen, kings, princes of this world, and I would say of the other world too, of the spiritual world, listen to me, because we're going to worship and praise in music and in instruments, our king. The next time it's used, for the first time it's used translated praise, sing praises, is in 2 Samuel 22:50. Now, let me just turn there, although I've got it for you. And this is a psalm of praise that David has, and part of it is also replicated later on in the Psalms. And he says here, I will sing praises unto thy name. So here we see that it's also something we can do individually. And of course, what was David? A psalmist, a praiser. You could even say that he was viewed as a minstrel, someone who played and sang as well. And that's how he really got brought into Saul. And what would happen to Saul? When he sang praises, the tormenting spirit would do what? So, with the power and authority that now resides in you, that David didn't have, do you think when you give true praise and worship in a musical instrument the way David did, that the enemies of your soul will depart as well? If you expect them to. If you allow them to stay, they'll hang around. But I don't believe they can hang around when we pray in spirit, praise in spirit and in truth, as we looked at earlier. Now, let's look at a couple that we saw last week, back to Psalm 7. And hopefully you're beginning to get a clearer picture of how these words fit together and are used with each other. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will give thanks, yada. I will give thanks to the Lord according to His righteousness. So I'm thanking the Lord, not for what He's done for me, but for what? Who He is. And I'm doing it from a grateful heart because of whom I am in Him. So it says, I will give thanks, yada, to the Lord according to His righteousness, and I will sing praise, zamar, to the name of the Lord Most High. Now, some people would say, well, why would we sing praises to His name? How would you answer that? Well, Jesus is His name, but His name represents all that He is. It also, I mean, what does He say His name literally means? When Moses asked Him, who shall I say sent me? And He said, I am. So why are we praising Him? Because He am all that we ever need. And I'm not being irreverent to that. I mean, that's the great I am is everything that we need. And that's why His name entails all He is. Now look at Psalm 9, right there close. Two verses. Let's start in 1. We'll read 1 and 2. I will give thanks, yada again. Now, King James will say praise. My New American Standard says give thanks. Same word, yada, which we saw literally means to raise the hands in giving thanks and to give praise. Translated that way also. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. So this is something we're doing, not just casually. How about saying we're committed to it? I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all His wonders or miracles. Verse 2. I will be glad and exult. Now remember, some of those words about being glad and exult means you could get happy. The one we talked about, twirling around and dancing. But it's not just twirling and dancing. It's twirling and dancing with a strong focus, like a gymnast performs a routine. And so they're focused on. Now, what is our focus when we're doing this? Him. So, I will be glad and exalting thee, and then at the same time, I will sing praise, the word zamar. So, it could be singing alone, or it could be singing and playing and instrument. Now, there close also is Psalm 21, the 13th verse. And this one is interesting. Be thou exalted, O Lord, in thy strength. Now, why are we telling him to be exalted in his strength? Well, because what we're saying is this is how we exalt you, because of your strength, and you're there. Because of who you are, I'm about to do these things in the next line. My translation says, we will sing and praise thy power. So, the words there, we will sing, is actually talking about one who goes around playing an instrument, singing, in other words, a minstrel. The next word, and praise thy power, is the word zamar. Now, one of the things this is telling us that we can take, I think, to the bank, is that we're all called to be one who will sing to the Lord. So everybody can, we all joke about, well, I can just make a joyful noise. And a lot of us fall into that category. And so there are those of us who need to make that joyful noise in praise and worship with the singing going on. Not be quiet just because we can't sing, but we need to be singing with everyone else. And we can even do it loudly, and even if it's out of key a little bit. Those are those of us who don't need a microphone. Then there are some who sing, and they do pretty good, and they can lead us in that praise and worship, and they can use a microphone so that they can lead in that. And then there's the next level of those who don't need to be recorded doing it. You don't want a record of it. So don't let, just because you're not holding a microphone or making a recording, don't let that stop you from what we get clear instruction in the Word to do, is to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Even can do it loudly on occasion. And let me just say, if you can't do it in private, odds are you'll never do it in public. So, what does it matter? If you're doing this at home by yourself, your spouse or another family member may think you're crazy, but you can tell them what you're doing and why. But if you do that and you get accustomed to doing it at home, then you're going to be in a meeting somewhere and it's just going to flow out of you because it flows out of you naturally at home. Psalm 57, let's go to 57. Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing. That's just a word that means sing. Yes, I will zamar, sing praises. So here again, encouraging us, this is who we are. Now, 1 Chronicles 16 again. I want to start in verse 6, and you'll see several of these used. Verse 6, on that day David first assigned, and Benaiah and Jehaziel the priest blew the trumpets before the Ark of the Covenant. Is that praise? You remember the word that we use about using the fingers? Okay, so that's praise, instrumental praise, before the Ark of the Covenant. Then on that day David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to Yada, to the Lord. Give thanks or praise the Lord. O give thanks, O Yada. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among his people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Zamar. Speak of all his wonders. Verse 10. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. The word glory there is halal. So here you have three of the words used right with each other. So one of the things that tells me is don't try to just say, well, I'm going to do Shabbat this time or I'm going to do halal. Just let it flow naturally. This next one is the last of the seven, and I didn't save it for last because I think it's best, but I think it has some implications toward us today who have the Spirit of God inside us. And that word is tahila. Now, it comes as a derivation of the word halal, which is the first one we started. It's used 57 times in 57 verses, and it's translated every time as praise. The Hebrew meaning is laudation or singing a hymn or song. And when you look at some of the expositories on it, it's a verbal expression which interleaves belief and joy. Now, I think that's interesting because that's getting us back to doing it in spirit and in truth, believing. So it ties in with that. It literally means to sing halal. And these are the phrases that it also means, which I think applies as much to us today as it even more than it did to the Hebrew people. It means to sing a new song as a hymn of spontaneous praise. We'll see some examples of this. First reference is in Exodus 15. You remember what happened in Exodus 15? Or what had just happened? They had crossed over. They had crossed over the Red Sea when the people were fearful and frightened. And they got on the other side and Miriam started singing her song. And with the people of Israel. I will sing to the Lord, verse 1 says, for He is exalted, and then the horse and rider has He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. I can remember when I was a young boy in home church singing a song with those words in it. Now look down at verse 11. Who is like Thee amongst the gods, O Lord? Who is like Thee, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises. The word there is tahila, working wonders. Now, what happened to this? How did this song come forth? It wasn't a song that had been written and everybody knew. It was a song that what? Came out spontaneously from their insides as a result of the joy that they were experiencing from having been delivered and seeing their enemies defeated. So it has that degree of spontaneity, or spontaneity, I would say, is a correct way. And it is something that is totally new. Now, how many of us are comfortable worshiping and just letting what's in our heart flow out and praying it in a song? We need to be. Some do it much more easily than others, particularly if they're gifted in singing. But again, I think this is instruction that we all need to be doing it. Let's look at another one, Deuteronomy 10. Children of Israel are out wandering. Look what is said in verse 21. He is your tahila, your praise, and He is your God, who has done these great and awesome things for you, for which your eyes have seen. So what is the implication here? That we ought to give praise, and we can do it about what has just occurred, which means it's going to be a spontaneous flowing, and it's not going to be something that you've memorized. It's just going to be what you come out and let come out in the form of a song, in giving thanks to the Lord. Now, I want to go quickly through these next ones, but we've got plenty of time, so it's no, we're not going to be pushed. Let's look at Psalm 40. No, I'm going to change my mind here. Keep your hand there in Psalm 40 or put a mark. We'll come right back to it. But go to Psalm 22. Because I want you to get the, as we read these, I want you to have this in mind. I just perceive the Lord wanted us to do that differently. Verse 3 says, and let me read it in King James. But thou art holy, O Lord, that, O thou that inhabitest the praises of thy people. Now, how often have we talked about that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people? The New American Standard says, you're holy who are enthroned. That means sitting there with. Upon the praises of Israel, his people. So we quote that a lot of time. The word there for praise is this word, Tehillah. Now, why is that important? Because I believe it says there's a special place in his heart for that just spontaneous giving of praise and thanks that we do for him. That praise that is not coming from something that I've memorized and I say it as just a repeat, but that's something that is coming from deep down within me and flowing out spontaneously. Now, as we read these other verses, keep that in mind. This is the word that is used, and I don't believe it's exclusive. I believe he inhabits all the praises, whether it be halal or the giving of thanks or whatever. But especially this one and for us, and we'll talk about that at the end. This is what his heart is really tuned to. Those genuine expressions of praise that may come out in the spur of the moment from the depths of your being. Psalm 40. And let's read starting at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise. He put a new song in my mouth, Tehillah, to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Now, what are many going to see and fear? What are many going to see? Let's just ask that one first. His mighty works. How are they going to see his mighty works? They might be actually where they can see you be delivered from this. But what's the other way that they're going to see and learn of his mighty works? Through this new song that's coming out of your mouth as you're giving thanks. Why are they going to fear? That's reverential awe. They're going to see that because of the way God has treated you and the way you respond to his goodness. Do you realize that's what being a witness is today? It's to tell of what you know. Isn't that what a witness does in a court, Charles? Tells what they know, what they have seen, what they have experienced about this situation. And how are we going to be doing it? Through our praises, through our Tehillah to him. Now look at Psalm 149. And you'll begin to see a pattern with this. Psalm 149, the first verse says, Hallelujah! Sing to the Lord a new song and his Tehillah in the congregation of the godly ones. Now, that is giving us an indication then that there may be times when there's congregational singing and everybody's singing something different and they're singing a new song. And many of us have seen that type of thing in some spirit worship in the church today. So we're seeing some things that are a little bit different than what we've gotten accustomed to when we sing page 134, first, third, and fourth verse, and those kind of things. We're seeing a different way of when praise just takes over. And what did we talk about? It was a spontaneity about it. Look at Psalm 34. And I want you to see that some of these psalms that we're looking at right now, Psalm 40, this one, Psalm 34, are really key psalms for us. Mine, this one is marked up terribly in my Bible. I will bless the Lord at all times. Barak. His praise. His Tehillah. His my being spontaneous and praising Him out of my heart with a new song. That type of praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast, halal, in thee. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Now you see how that tied in to what we just read earlier? On they'll see and begin to fear. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I have, and you as well, I'm sure, have experienced and have had people come to you and say after a service, I'm coming back. I didn't understand everything about the teaching, but there was a part of that worship service that I knew something was real. And it was that praise and worship that drew them in. That's that genuineness of it. That's that song that's coming up deep from within you, where you're just not singing words as you're looking on a screen, but where you let it flow deep from your heart, and it becomes that spontaneity and that very personal touch. Turn a page over to Psalm 35. And let's start in verse 27. Now, isn't it interesting that Tehillah that we just read in 34 is what's used when it's talking about praise being continually in my mouth? Now, let me say also that spontaneity doesn't mean it's got to be something that's just totally new every time. It can be something you have learned and it just comes up in a spontaneous manner. So it can be a song you've heard. I've been experiencing that with some I've been listening to about joy, where that I just drive along and all of a sudden that song just bubbles up out of me. So, now, Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. And let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of His servant. And my tongue shall declare thy righteousness and thy Tehillah all day long. So here again, we see this type of praise, this word here, that is used for this continual praise. That attitude of thanksgiving, that attitude of gratitude, as some people will say. Now, another very familiar one, Psalm 100. Let's just read all of them, and verse 4 we'll talk about. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all ye earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and we are the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Todah. And His courts with Tehillah. Give thanks to Him, Yada. Bless Barak, His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. So here again, we have entering into His presence with the word Tehillah, where before it was we do the praises based on that word Tehillah. And what happens? His presence comes to that worship. But here we're going it with that spontaneity. And to me, it's just that depth of praise is really what this is getting at. Psalm 106, verse 12. Remember I said it also had to do interleaving, believing, and joy earlier? Verse 12, talking about what happened to the children of Israel just before they sang the song that we saw earlier. This is what that's referring to. It talks about what happened and the waters covering their adversaries in 10 and 11. And then it said in verse 12, then they believed his words and they sang his Tehillah. Now I just got to ask the question. When we pray today, we believe we receive when we pray. When should Tehillah come forth? When we see the result we've prayed for, or right after we pray? What do you think would have happened if the children of Israel, instead of complaining and being fearful of the enemy coming on their backside, had said, the Lord is going to deliver us, he told us he would, and started singing a spontaneous song of praise? I'm not even sure Moses would have had to lift the rod up. The power of praise. That just jumped out at me as I was meditating this scripture here. Now, Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. Now, stop there. When you think about somebody who fits that category, you think about someone who is maybe, in our terms, we would say they have some letters after their name. They've learned a lot. They're very pious. They're very quiet. They speak with a different voice. Those type of things. So that's the person this is talking about. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. And then it says, His Tehillah endures forever. So we don't ever want to get so much knowledge that we think we got it. We lose the ability to just have that spontaneous. That knowledge of Him ought to make us more let that stuff flow out from us. Let's look at one that's not in Psalms, Isaiah 43. And this is one of the great chapters in Isaiah, 41, 42, and 43. Verse 21. The people who I formed for who? I formed for their benefit? No. These people who I formed for myself, this is the Lord speaking through Isaiah, will declare my Tehillah. You see some of the specialness of this word here? This is one that it's like the Lord has got His hand on everything that is going on with it. His presence is there with us when we do it. Now, I want to, not in your notes, but I was led this morning to write down three scriptures. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 14, so make a note of these. Verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. Now, this is in the chapter that is talking about spiritual gifts. And I want you to look at what it says. In fact, let's back up to 14. For if I pray in a tongue, so it's talking about the speaking in tongue, my spirit prays. But my mind is unfruitful. Now, so what this is talking about is when the Holy Spirit is praying through us and we're speaking it, We may not at the time we're praying understand the words or what he's praying at all. And then look at what he says. What's the outcome then? What do I need to do then? I shall pray with the spirit, and I shall pray with the mind or understanding also. And then look at this next one. I shall sing with the spirit, and I shall sing with the mind also. So he's saying to us here that part of the use of our prayer language is also to sing in it. That spontaneity, that coming up from deep within us, from the spirit man inside us. Now look at James 5 as we begin to close. I've got two more here I want you to write down. James 5, the 13th verse. Is anyone amongst you suffering? And that suffering is an indication of routine, normal suffering. It's not above and beyond what one can withstand, which is why the later one says, which is, call for the elders. It says, let him pray. Then it asks the question, is anyone cheerful? Let him do what? Sing songs. We've talked about this before, but if you're afflicted, it says you pray. And too often we want somebody else to pray. But in the same context, if you're cheerful, you wouldn't go to somebody else and say, would you sing praises for me? Now, if we're afflicted and we read all those Psalms, and we know that the deliverance is coming, then we're going to get cheerful. And because we're cheerful, we're going to do what? And so when we start singing praise because we're cheerful, even though we're afflicted, what's going to happen? The presence of God is going to come, and the enemy is going to leave, and that thing that's afflicting us is going to go away. So we see a direct tie there. It reminds me of Ephesians 5, verse 19. Let's back up to 18. No, let's back up to 17. So then, verse 17, Ephesians 5, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, what is the will of the Lord that we have seen in these seven words? To use our mouth, to use our hands, to physically speak, raise hands, and give thanks, adoration, praise, laud Him, bless His name, in all different types of things, just with words, in song, and in music, with spontaneousness. So that's the concept of what's being, that's part of His will that we've just seen. And then it says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Now, I got to ask a question. I've been protected. I have never been drunk in my life. But I have been around some people who were. As you have. And what is one of the characteristics of someone who is drunk? Might they get loud? What I've seen is they either get loud or they fall out. But they get awful loud. So he's saying then, don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. And then what's he putting as an analogy to this? But be filled with the Spirit, and filled with the Spirit continues on in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, he's doing this in context of don't get drunk and be like a drunk who is loud. So don't do it. Don't be loud when you're drunk. Be loud when you're what? In the Spirit, doing all these things. You know, how much of our praise and worship is just rote? Meaning, we do it week in and week out, and we can even get excited in some churches about it. But it's not coming as a result of us being filled with that Spirit and that gratitude just flowing out of us. That's all I got for today. And I guess I want to ask you a question. Can you see praise differently after these several weeks and we've looking at these words? The Thanksgiving part, don't diminish that. Let that be big. And then this part about letting that Thanksgiving and that praise bubble up from deep within you. Learn to let it just come. If you get anything from this, it's let the Spirit in you and your true gratitude drive the praise and worship that you do, no matter what the songs are singing. I have gone through a spell where, I wanted to go back to almost the choruses we used to sing because I couldn't memorize all these long songs with the many verses, and it bothered me. And I finally realized it doesn't matter. If they are singing something and I don't know the words, I can do the Tehillah with my understanding or in the Spirit. And so I let the devil rob me because I didn't like the kind of music that someone else did. Don't let that happen. I hope we begin to see this in this study.